Luke in chapter 10. Luke in chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 41, verse 38. Now, I want to preface my remarks this morning by saying, first of all, how much we appreciate the kindness you have shown to us over the years, the help with the work and stuff. God continues to bless the work in Nancy in spite of us. Over the summer, we're running close to 20. Now we're kind of in that little lull, sometimes around 15, sometimes 13. And I won't lie to you, sometimes it gets a little discouraging. And it gets a little down. You know, you start seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. Man, things look like they're doing good. And we still got good people. Don't get me wrong, but sometimes it just seems like that the dedication level at times wanes a little bit. So you pray for me, because I will not lie to you. I am a subject to bouts of, I can't remember what Spurgeon used to say about this, but basically bouts of depression. I won't lie to you. And I know a lot of preachers, they won't admit that, but I will not lie to you. I suffer with that sometimes. And I ask that you pray for me, that the Lord will help me through this, and that God will give victory in this, and God will help with the work there, and give us what we need of. We also ask that you pray for Tara, as she is not feeling well. She wanted to come, and short trips are hard enough, but she probably would have come anyway, but she just hasn't been doing very well health-wise for the last couple of weeks. So we're going to try to get her into a doctor tomorrow to see what's going on. So you pray for her. And I am glad, though, Zechariah got to come with me tonight. He is the little ray of sunshine on an otherwise cloudy day, as he loves for me to go around telling. But again, we're thankful to be here today. Please pray for us. Pray for the work. We are praying diligently about several things. First of all, with my job situation with the city of Somerset, praying for that to go full-time. I have been assured that that will happen. I don't know when that is, but it will happen. Also, we're praying that the Lord will bless us to be able to pay off our property there at the mission soon. Don't owe a whole lot of money, but at the same point in time, it'll be wonderful to get that paid off. So you pray for us about this. And now, if you will, look with me, please, in the book of Luke in chapter 10. Luke in chapter 10, as we said, we're going to start. And verse 38, the Bible says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." Now, if you're not opposed to this, I would encourage you to underline that phrase there. "Thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Let's pray. Our Father, we come before you now, and we're so thankful for your love and mercy. And God, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts this morning. God, I ask that you would help us to bring honor and glory to your name. And God, I pray that you just speak to our hearts. God, I pray if there be one here today that's cumbered about with much serving, and Lord, that's anxious and troubled, God, I pray that you just speak to them. God, help us to be a blessing and an encouragement in these dark times, these troublesome times. And God, I pray that you'd be with the work there in Nancy this morning, be with Brother Logan as he leads the service, and God, just help them to minister there as well. Thank you, Lord, for all you do for us, even right now and right here. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Here in the book of Luke, we find, of course, in this same chapter, in chapter 10, where we find the Good Samaritan And I don't believe that it is a coincidence, and we don't believe in coincidences, that following this parable, this story, however you want to look at it there with the Good Samaritan, is that it continues on and it talks about Mary and Martha. Now, what is it we find about the Good Samaritan? Now, there's a lot of different views on that, but the one thing that sticks out there to me sometimes is in that and I'm paraphrasing here, some felt that they were too good perhaps to get their hands dirtied with the guy that was laying on the side of the road. Some of them, it seemed like, were a little too busy to be bothered with him. And then we come to this next part of the story, and here Jesus is passing through the village, and he comes upon two people that we're somewhat familiar with, Mary and Martha. Now, in verse 38 says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Now, I want you to understand, a lot of times people talk about being a Martha, and they almost make it sound like it's an insult to be called a Martha. Listen, Martha certainly had her problems here, but understand this, apparently she was very hospitable. She received him into her house, and so, you know, that says something about her. But while she had Jesus there, she was busy. Man, she was all worried about, I could imagine her going around the kitchen, making sure he had food, making sure they were taken care of, making sure everything was spotless and perfect. You know, perhaps she had what would be called today a type A personality. But then, we have Mary. Now, Mary seems to be perhaps a little more laid back. She's there. She's not up running around. She's not up trying to take care of this and trying to take care of that. Rather, what does she do? She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. I know myself, a couple of years ago, I was very busy. I was working. I was coaching high school softball, coaching my son's little league football team, coaching little league baseball, trying to do the work of the missionary and the pastorate there in Nancy. And it seemed like every time I turned around, something was going on. Every time I turn around, you had some issue and so on. And man, I will not lie to you, it got to a place where I was burning out. I had lit the candle at both ends, and man, they were about ready to absolutely just fizzle out in the middle. I didn't know what to do. And so one night, me and Tara was sitting at the table in the dining room, and I looked at her, and I said, "Honey, I think I'm done. I said, I really think I'm done. I said, I don't think I'm done forever, but I just can't keep doing this." She looked at me and she said, "Well, you know, let's talk about it." So we sit down and talked. And I told her, I said, "Listen, I said, I'm really thinking, I'm just being honest with you all today. I said, I really think I'm just going to have to resign the work." So I called my pastor, Brother Clint Keith. We talked about it, and I told him a while back that some of this had been going on. But I told him, I said, "Brother, I said, I think I need to take a break before I do something like that. I said, I really think that maybe I need to take a week or two and just get off to myself and reevaluate some things to make sure that I don't make an emotional decision that I'm going to regret." He said, "That's fine." So I called him that night. That had been several months before, and I called him that night, and I told him, I said, "I'm telling the work tomorrow, I'm taking a month. I've got to make some decisions here. I've got to get my head right, or I said, I'm either, and if I don't, I said, they may not be looking for another mission pastor now, but they will be soon." So he told me, he said, "Brother Troy, you do what you need to do. We're behind you. We support you." So I talked to Tara about it. We decided that's what we'd do. Went to the work the next morning. And I told them, I said, listen, I said, I'm not resigning. I said, but I've got to take some time. And I told them what was going on with me. And they told me, said, Brother Troy, you take all the time you need. So I took a month. And in that time, I didn't preach. I went and heard preaching. I made sure the services were taken care of there. And I went and heard men preach. And it got to seeing how much it encouraged me and what a blessing it was. And in that time, I got to thinking, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? It's got to be me. I know it's not the Lord. So the more I got to thinking, the more I got to praying, the more the Lord got to showing me some things. What He showed me was, I was busy. You know, we think it's a good thing in our society, even in churches. Man, you got to be busy. You've always got to be doing this. You've always got to be doing that. Man, you've always got to have some activity planned. But the problem is, many times when we get busy, do we really take time to hear from the Lord? You know, I don't know about some of the esteemed brethren here, but there's a lot of background noise. I can't hear thunder. And I know eventually I'm going to have hearing aids. It's just the way it is, if it can filter out background noise. And I'll be somewhere, and of course, you know, even coaching Little League football with Zechariah's team and stuff, we'll be on the sideline, and there'll be a little kid there saying something, and there'll be all these other kids in the background, and I'm like, guys, shut up. I can't hear a thing going on. And they'll be quiet. Finally, I'll have all my attention on the little fella. He'll tell me what's going on, and I'll be able to answer his question. But you know, I want you to think about this. How often is it that we get that way? We got all the background noise going on. We got Little League. We've got the TV. We've got work. We've got our bills. We've got family obligations. We've got all this stuff going on. And maybe it by itself, there's not a whole lot of noise with that one thing, but that little bit of noise gets compounded with this little bit of noise. And before you know it, there's a quiet roar in the background. And we don't hear the most important word. We don't hear that still small voice of the Lord. We don't hear Him speaking to us, and we don't have that fellowship that we ought to have. I'm afraid too many times we're like Martha. We're cumbered. The word cumbered means to distract. Distracted. Just for a few minutes this morning, while I'm preaching, while Brother Jason's preaching, while the other brethren are preaching, my hope and prayer would be that each and every one of us would simply stop and listen to the still small voice of the Lord Jesus Christ and listen to what He is saying to us. And I believe that if we'll take those times and we listen to Him, folks, we'll be encouraged. It'll keep us from perhaps falling into great sin, even in our own life. A couple of years ago when I went through that time God started dealing with me. And basically, it came down to this. If it doesn't have something to do with my family, and if it doesn't have to do with the Lord's work, I'm done with it. Now that may seem hard. That may seem mean. But folks, I'm telling you, I have a responsibility to my family. I have a responsibility to spend time with my son and to mentor him and let him know that I'm involved in his life and I love him. And I want you to understand, as much as I love the few kids we have at church and as much as I want to be a help to them, I want you to understand this. And I've told the work there, and I'll tell anyone, that kid right there is more my responsibility than anyone else's. As much as I love all the other families in our work, and I say that like we have millions or something, but as much as I love the other people in the work there, I want you to understand, my family is their priority. Because you see, if I don't have him, and if I don't have my wife, then I don't have a ministry. You see, I got to take care of business at home. Now let me say this too. Whenever it comes to the Lord's work, I am responsible to feed them and to preach for them more than I am anywhere else. Now, listen, I'm glad to be here this morning. I'm thankful for that. But I tell you what, years ago, I used to be bad thinking I had to go to all the conferences. I had to go everywhere I was invited to preach. And even if I was a preacher, man, I need to be there. But God has shown me that the responsibility I have first and foremost is to the work where he's called me. And I tell you, folks, as that has happened, as I've kind of gotten those things in order and God has allowed me, let me put it that way, God dealt with me about that. I resigned the softball team. Let me tell you what, that was hard. There was a matter of pride with me. I'd taken them from being losing every game to winning about half of them. Man, I was prideful about that. The Lord had to deal with me about it, and I had to resign. Had other issues too, had other things. Man, loved coaching baseball. Loved helping all these different things. And finally, I just had to say, you know what, enough is enough. Now, has it been perfect? No. But I tell you what, I can hear the Lord much clearly now. You see, Martha was distracted. But notice what she was distracted about. It wasn't like she was out here partying. It wasn't like she was out here doing ungodly and unrighteous things. What she was doing, she was serving. She was cumbered about much serving. Now think about this. Who was she serving? She was serving Jesus. But she was still distracted. You see, we can be busy serving. Man, we can be in church. We can be having all these different functions at church, and everything can be going great. But we're still not serving Him without distraction. I want you to notice what she said here. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Now I want you to think about this. Doesn't this sound like us sometimes? Well, what are you doing over there? I'm doing all the work. Well, I'm doing this, or I'm doing that. And there you are, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Shame on you. You think about that. Oh, she was busy. But she was distracted by her service. You know, folks, there's nothing wrong with serving. There's nothing wrong with putting other people's needs before yourself. There's nothing wrong with being involved. But the problem is, whenever being involved distracts you from spending that time, that quality time in prayer, that quality time in reading, the fellowship, while your relationship never changes, the fellowship does. It's not as intimate, and you're not growing, you're not listening, and you're not able to worship as you should. said, "Don't you care, Lord? Here I am doing all this other stuff for you, and there she is just doing nothing but sitting at your feet. Don't you care? Lord, tell her to get off her seat and help me." I can't help to think, though, that as Jesus responded to her, that perhaps she was pricked in her heart. Perhaps there was some conviction there. And maybe it helped her to see what was going on in her life. You know, I think sometimes we need to come face to face with where we're at. You know, a couple of years ago, I did. I came face to face where I was at. I was busy serving. I was even coaching softball at a Christian school. We were praying with them. I was giving them devotions. Man, I was even able to witness to some of those kids that really and truly never been in church. But it was taking away from my time from the Lord. Verse 41, and Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." Careful means anxious. The word troubled is to be disturbed. Basically, man, you've got a lot of anxiety. Man, you're troubled about so much. Is it a wonder that in our society so many, and listen, you'd be surprised who this is. Is it a wonder that so many of us are on anxiety medicine? Is it a wonder that so many of us are just on the verge of a nervous breakdown? Look at your life. I want to ask you a question. A lot of things that we think we have to do, but really and truly, we don't have to. You'll say, "Well, you know, I understand you have to work. The Bible says that if you don't work, you don't eat. You have obligations. You pay your bills." But do you have to volunteer for all those hours of overtime? Do you have to? Hey, you know, if you got the wolves at the door, sometimes you got to do some things. But do you have to do all that? You know, we know the Bible also says that as men, we're to provide for our own. And, you know, that provision is not just talking about the physical, monetary provision. But I believe also more than that, it's talking about the spiritual provision, the emotional provision. Husbands, when's the last time that whenever we're just busy about having to work and having to do this or thinking we got to, there our wives are, they're down in the dumps, they're hurting. Whether it be physically, whether it be emotionally. We just kind of put things aside and say, you know, this can wait for some other time. Now listen, I want you to understand. I'm not sitting here telling you I do that as I ought. But I ought to do it more than I do. What about those times whenever we're so busy with life that our kids are asking us questions or just saying, "Daddy or Mommy, I need to, why don't you come here and do this?" And we go, "No, I ain't got time for this. I don't have time for that. I got to do this, this, and this." I've had many people tell me, and then next thing you know, you turn around and they're 14, 15 years old, and they really don't care if you're around or not. And I try to spend all the time, and I don't do it perfectly, but I try to spend as much time as I can with Zechariah. Because I know one of these days, right now, he don't mind me being around. But I know one of these days, I'm going to say, "Hey, son, how you doing?" Say, "Who's that?" Said, "I don't know, it's just some fat, fuzzy guy. I don't know who that is." As he runs the other direction. But you know, we need to take that time for our families. But you know, we also need to make that time for the Lord, where we can fellowship with Him. Where we can hear that voice. Are you careful? Are you troubled? Are you anxious? And I tell you what, the last couple of years, I know of two preachers that have killed themselves. I don't know all the ins and outs. I don't need to know. Three, I'm sorry. And you know, I often think to myself, you wonder if people that knew them, if they just didn't think back and say, you know, did they reach out? Were they trying to tell me something? Did I not see it? Did I just say, "Oh, you know, we'll be praying for you, brother. Everything's good. Be warned and filled." Well, if we just taken that time and listened to the still small voice. And you know, folks, I'm talking about the human responsibility side of it. I'm not talking about God's, what we were talking about last night, the decrees of God and all that. I'm not dealing with that. That's up to God. I'll leave that to Him. He can do that a lot better than me. You know, others that are hurting. There's a man in the area that I've been good friends with. He's been accused of a terrible thing. I've had people ask, I don't know. I know the one that does, and I'll just trust the Lord that He'll reveal it in His time. But I tell you this too, folks. I know that there's a lot of people that are hurting, a lot of people that are troubled, a lot of people that are anxious. They don't have someone to turn to. They don't know. We can be a help to them. But more than anything else, we need to pray that they'll stop for just a moment and listen to the voice of God. What's God saying to them? Let me ask you, are you careful? Are you troubled about many things? If so, then just stop. Stop. Quit getting so busy. Quit adding things. Stop and listen to the voice of God. Sit at His feet. Open His Word. Pray. Seek His face. Verse 42. But one thing is needful. You know, there are things that are needful. You know, we know the gospel's needful for the sinner. We know that for the child of God, that it's needful that they grow in grace and knowledge. But you know, He's not dealing with that here. Notice what He says. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. What's that good part? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Learning of Him. Learning from Him. Listening. You know, I'm sure most of y'all have heard this before, but there's a reason that we've been given two ears and one mouth. So we can listen to twice as much as we say. Folks, I believe there's a good reason why that God has not only given us physical ears, but spiritual ears as children of God. So we can sit at His feet and listen. Maybe you're here today, and man, you're just consumed. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you feel like the world is crumbling in on you. then I say to you, remove yourself from that. Get away. Sit at the feet of Jesus. Learn of Him. Listen to Him. Pray. And I promise you, folks, if you'll do that, then you'll receive that needful thing. Because God wants His people to flourish. I'm not talking about a Joel Osteen message. I'm talking about He wants His people to live a life that is honoring and glorifying to Him. And the way that is done is stopping, sitting, and listening. Don't ever get too busy to sit down. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for this.